love towards others, O Lord. Lord, please watch over me, protect me, help me die in myself, help me be used for you. About your cross, about what you died for us, the love that you gave us, the love that you showed upon us. The way I love myself, help me to love others. We love others, Lord. Watch over, protect me, Lord. If you would, please turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Tonight, today, in this past week so far this year, we've many of sorrows. There's people getting hit by everything on every side. Brother, Miss April, her cancer. Brother Ron, his wife. People with all kinds of sickness and troubles. Brother Ken had surgery on his foot. Barely even knew anything about it until afterwards. People, family members passing away and dying. Let me get into the message. So, I'm going to read the whole book, but we know Jonah is called to be a watchman. A watchman was, God said, a watchman was somebody who, if he saw the people, he saw the armies coming, he would go and warn the people so they could be saved. He said if a watchman sees people and they don't, he doesn't do anything about it, the blood will be upon his hands. So, Jonah told God, so verse 1 said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was a man called to warn the people. Instead of warning the people, he fled from the presence of God. He finds himself on a ship. Storms come. He said, these storms are for my sake. Instead of telling him to go to Nineveh, he said, just cast me out into the sea. In the sea, he suffers God's judgment for his own sins. His own sin of disobedience, not warning the people, not doing what he was told to do. It goes, he suffers in the sea. And while he's in the sea, in his torment, God gave him space for repentance. He did. Well, he said, well, it says, the waters compassed me about. I'm in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 5. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and vomit it out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it, and preach that I bid thee. Jonah, when he entered into the city, says in chapter 4, this is what he preached. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He preached, it came to the ears of the people, and they repented with a great repentance. It came down to where even the animals were fasting. They are all clothed in sackcloth and ashes, even out that are animals. Over in verse 10, it says, God saw the works that they turned from the evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not.
Amen.
So far, Jonah sinned. God gave him space for repentance. He repented, got right, and did what he was supposed to do. Nineveh was an entire city full of sin. God sent him a preacher, gave him space for repentance. They repented. They got right, and they were saved. But what did Jonah do? The man called to preach to a people. The man, he had no heart for this people. He had no heart for them. He was called to preach to them with no heart. What happened after that? He said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before on the Tarshish, for I know that thou art a gracious God, merciful.
Amen.
And merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentance to thee of the evil. What did a man just say just before that? And they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. In his repentance, in his distress, he found mercy, he found the grace, he repented, he did the works of repentance, and he got right. God gave him space for repentance. He repented. He found the mercies of God. He found salvation. He found life. And God told him to go preach the same thing to those people. But when they found repentance, when they found mercy, the man was angry. Why is that? Why could a man find joy in repentance of his own salvation, but he has no joy in another man's salvation?
Yeah.
He had no joy for an entire nation that repented in sackcloth and ashes. Yeah. I mean, they're not even there. And they probably fasted for the 40 days because he never went and told them that God repented of the evil. Yeah. So those people sat there in sackcloth and ashes, fasting and their animals fasting for 40 days to see whether God would have spared them or not. 40 days they were like that. The man already knew that God had mercy upon them, and he just sat there and saying, why are you going to have mercy upon them after you've already just had mercy on me? And to go further on, and there's something else. Let me see where that verse is. And chapter 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made he a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. If you would, please turn to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40 through 43. the booth he sat in, from bitterness and anger, full of hatred. Chapter 49. And also in the 14th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep the feast, a feast unto the Lord, 7 days. And the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day that the broth, those of goodly trees, branches and palm trees, and the thick trees, and and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep in a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations, and ye shall celebrate it in 7 months. The seventh month, ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All they are Israel born shall dwell in the booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So in remembrance of a deliverance from suffering and sorrow, they were meant to dwell in booths as a remembrance and in joy for 7 days. Mm-hmm. So the booth that the man sat in was supposed to be remembered and supposed to be used during a time of rejoicing. Because they were delivered from Egypt. But instead of rejoicing, he sat there in sorrow and anger and bitterness. Instead of rejoicing with a people that just got delivered from their own destruction, he sat in bitterness. And then there was a gourd above him. I have some other verses here. I'm going to go over these. So, you don't need to turn here, but in Mark 12:30, the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second commandment is namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other greater commandment than these. And 1 Samuel 15:22, I'm going to read the verse, no need to turn there. Samuel said, hath the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. Please turn to Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So these verses I just read here, God says, to obey is better than sacrifice. To present your body as a living sacrifice. So for me to be a living sacrifice is to live in obedience. And to live in obedience is to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Amen. And to live in obedience is to love others as you love yourself.
Amen.
I love myself. It's not a sin for me to love myself. I feed me. When I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm wounded, when I get a cut, I take care of it. I dress it. You love your flesh. You feed it every day because you care about yourself. When you're rejoicing, you rejoice. When I'm happy, I laugh. When I'm filled in sorrow, when I feel weak, when a family member of mine, my heart breaks, I cry, I weep. Because I love myself. I don't want to feel horrible. But I still weep. When I rejoice, I rejoice.
Amen.
Now, there's a reason why I said that. Jonah is also his death, burial, and resurrection is also referred to multiple times when Jesus Christ, as Jonah was in the belly of the beast, belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But there was a difference between Jonah and God. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. So Jesus was the flesh of God. And God loved his flesh. He loved his Son. But in obedience to God, and Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, in obedience for God, God forsook his own flesh and gave it to suffering for your sakes. In loving you, he forsook himself to suffer for you. Jonah fled from God and was cast out because of his own sin. Jesus Christ was cast out from the presence of God for your sin. He was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus suffered for us. Jonah suffered for his own stupidity. But God loved Jesus. Again, I love my own flesh. I don't want to see corruption. So Jesus, so God, he rose from the grave. He didn't see corruption. Perfect, new body. And just because God loves you like he loved himself, he's going to do the same for you. He loved his Son. He loved himself. He loved his child. And he's going to show that same love for you.
Amen.
If you let him. I'm glad he went over salvation because that's a showing that God will love you like Jesus, like he loved Jesus. And there's no greater love than that. He's going to give you a new body because he loved you. He's going to care for when you're sorrow because it's like I care about when I'm sorrow. You're part of him. You're a part of the body of Christ. And God cares for his body. This, as you rejoice when you rejoice, God will rejoice with you because you're a part of him.
Amen.
He loves you as he loves himself. He loves you as he loves God. He loves you because you're a part of him. He'll weep with you that weep. He'll have sorrow. He'll cry with you when you're sorrow because you're a part of him. It affects him because he loves you as he loves himself. Jonah. And go further on, Jonah, there was a fruit that God brought above his head. While that fruit was alive, he rejoiced. He rejoiced that it brought him shelter. But when it died, he mourned. The Bible says, love others as you love yourself.
Right.
He loved that fruit like he loved himself. When it was alive, he rejoiced. When it died, it sorrow and suffering. He mourned over it. But there was a bunch of people out there that were in sorrow, that were repenting. He didn't rejoice with them. He had more compassion on a fruit than a thousand people that couldn't discern between the left and the right.
Okay.
The Bible says, as Christians, those that are strong serve the weak. Those who are, if you are greatest among you, let them be the servant. If you're strong, bear the burdens. You see those that are suffering around you, weep with them that weep. We are all the part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
His daughter is sick. Will you weep with him? People here have lost loved ones. Will you pray and weep over him as if it was your child, or as if it was you in that cancer, as if you were going through it? Will you pray in fervent prayer like you were going through it? Would you? When the time of rejoicing comes, will you rejoice like you would rejoice? He might be sorrowing. Some over here might be rejoicing. The Lord delivered him from something. Will you rejoice with him as if you were delivered? Will you pray for repentance as if you needed repentance? The people got repentance. Jonah went through the same thing. He was disobedient. He found space of repentance. He got that repentance. And then he found rejoicing. He found the salvation of the Lord. He rejoiced. He found the salvation of the Lord. But when it came to others, he had nothing to do with it. He wanted to see judgment. We all deserve judgment. Amen. I deserve judgment. Amen. But I want the mercies. I pray for the mercies because I don't want to suffer my own sins. Amen, you want the mercies in your life? Do you want to see mercies in other people's lives? We're all full of faults. Will you pray for the faults of others? Will you pray for their healings? Instead of telling cast judgment upon them, pray for them that you pray for yourself. Lord, I want the mercies. I don't want to see somebody, people die and go to hell. I want to see people see me fallen. They're part of me. They're a part of the body of Christ. I have a weak member here. It needs to be restored. Instead of chopping off your own arm, why don't you see it restored and healed? Instead of just casting it, oh, it's no good, just cast it away. Why don't you just try to mend it? Keep trying to mend it. It might be foolish, but you know, it's still a part of your body. It can still be useful. It can still be healed. It can still be a profit. But why would you just keep casting stuff off of you? Why do we keep casting other people in the church out? Why do you keep saying, oh, they're no good, just forget about them? No. They're part of the body of Christ. They each have a purpose. They might not be doing their purpose. They may be injured, and they may not be doing what they're supposed to do. But are you ministering to them? Are you doing caring about them as you care about yourself? You might have it right. You might be the best Christian in the church. But if you're the best Christian in the church, you'll be bearing the burdens and praying for them as if you were still out, as if you were still the one needing to grow. Amen. We're supposed to love others as we love ourselves. I'm supposed to love you as I love myself. I'm supposed to love you as I'm supposed to love God more than I love everything. And to do his will is to present myself as a living sacrifice. And to be obedient. To live in the structure and the order of God. Live in the boundaries of his love. If I live in his boundaries, I'm safe. If I go outside those boundaries, to live in lust, to live in isolation. Why? Because I don't care about anybody else. I just want to satisfy my flesh. You're going to hurt the body of Christ. You're going to isolate yourself. You're not going to have no joy, no peace. Why? Because there's no joy in isolation. You're all alone. But in the body of Christ, my entire church family. My whole family and the worldly family might forsake me, but I can go here all the way to Vietnam and find brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right.
Why? Because I love the Lord and I love others. Amen. And if you love others, your entire life will be, you don't have to tell people you're a Christian. They'll know that you love them.